The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. We are the alpha male of radio, and don't forget that. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle and our 30-day ebook, one to make you think, the other to make you grow. Take action and do it. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Eric Gutman on today. Go out and look at just all the shows Eric and I have done. And obviously 17's here. We will do many, many more. We have a catalog like nobody out there. And I guarantee you it's just going to keep getting bigger, bigger, and bigger with all the different guests that are coming on here. And we will have all our stalwarts here like Eric. There's nobody like us out there. I hear comparisons with other people. I take the compliment. But I'm not interested in what other people are doing. We have our family here. We have our guests, our family of guests. We do what we need to do, and we're just going to keep growing and getting better. That's what excellence is all about. Also, before we start, and I bring in Eric's bio, I always read something. I'm just going to read something quickly today from Of Stones and Strength, Steve Jack, Peter Martin, the late Peter Martin. Chapter 33, Sons of Sisyphus, on page 107, very short by our good friend Steve Jack. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Think about that today. Think about that the next time you're complaining, you're not getting to where you want to get. Think it out logically, and I guarantee you'll understand that line. Reread it over and over. I read it every day to myself. I want to give a little bio on Eric here. Number one. Eric is a naval officer, a strongman, writer, trainer, and speaker. And as you know, he's on here normally every month with us, and we couldn't be happier. We're going to talk about a subject I can't wait to get into. I sent Eric this, and I figured he was probably shaking his head or laughing out loud, wondering, okay, it's going to be called Captain Crunch and Weightlifting. Hey, brother, Happy New Year. Glad to have you here. I hope both of us, not only personally outside of here, but with the show, we're just going to tear it up, my friend.
Hey, thanks for that warm welcome, and I completely second your feelings about the matter. I'm very happy to be here.
Same here. Your quality, and that's the only thing we produce here. Anything I missed bio-wise, lay it out. And let's get into Captain Crunch and weightlifting, please.
No, let's do it.
Okay. All right. This was a concept I came up with because I think about, you know, I talk about the 10-year-old kid sitting at the table, you know, before the whole concept of motivation muscle came into fruition. And I used to always think, now, if I had questions, who would I want to talk to? Who do I look up to? And who would really set me straight, or at least set me on a path where, okay, I'm starting to produce here. I'm getting stronger and bigger, and, you know, I'm all the fun stuff that you're not used to yet when you begin, you know, the protein, you drink the rotten liquid protein or the tablets that taste like chalk, or, you know, you're buying the next new gadget out there. You know, I remember the time, you know, we kept watching Arnold, and they had this thing that isolates the arms. You put it on, and you put the crooks of your elbows in it, and you curl with it, and all these different things. But it was all part of the learning experience and the fun of it. And that's how I equate the subject matter, you know. And it's no joking. I mean, I'd sit and eat a bowl of Captain Crunch and think about weightlifting. What do I have to do? How am I going to afford this stuff? You know, I'm 10 or 11 years old, big family. You know, my father's not going to go out and buy me a 300-pound York weight set, which I probably didn't even know existed, and a bench and all that stuff. So I've got to be I got to have a little ingenuity here, and I went to my dad, and I told him what I wanted to do. And, of course, my father was like, okay, well, what about when we hung the boxing bag that basically when you're hitting it sounded like you're tearing my living room floor out? Or what about the bicycle you had to have that you don't even use, or, you know, you've been jumping stuff with it and destroyed everything on it, et cetera, et cetera. But he never stopped me. He would just kind of put that in my head that, you know, if we're going to invest in something, we got to get the most out of it. So after further discussion, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, as we always talk about here with the universe, what you put out there, sooner or later, you're going to get back. Well, he was talking to my Aunt Gloria, and she, my Uncle Will, by then my cousin, I think she was pretty much grown. I don't know if she was in college at that point, but my cousin Willie was much older than us, but he was always an athlete, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how they got talking about it, but my Aunt Gloria said, well, we have Willie's bench here and his sandbag weights, or sand weights. And my Uncle Will was a master carpenter besides being a teacher, school teacher. So my father tells me this, and I'm like just amped off the wall. When can we go? When can we go? Now, they live in Connecticut, right? So we decide on a date. And we drive over to Connecticut, and there it is. And the weights are leaking all over, and it's just a – I mean, you could probably put an elephant on the bench. It wouldn't break. But, I mean, let's face it, not padded, beautiful detail. But I'm like, oh, boy. So I was like, I'm still taking it. So we load it all up, spend a day with my aunt, come home, put it down cellar. And, man, aren't I happy. And probably the weight said if it weighed 100 pounds, I would have been lucky. Obviously, we had to get used to doing everything. But the magic of this whole thing was this. I finally got something, and I knew, as I've said on other shows, when I went down there and touched that barbell, I knew I was hooked for life. I knew I found something finally. You know, playing organized sports, liking it, playing with all your buddies. Great, but I like the individual end, and I'll tell you why. I'm such a believer, and you've heard Eric and I talk about this, you know, not only the responsibility, but it falls on your shoulders, man. And I think whether you have sons or daughters, nieces or nephews, and they want to play organized or whatever, I think it's very good to get them into some physical strongman stuff. And I'm not talking per se lifting stones or whatever, but if you can get them to that point, that'd be even that much better. Get them into something that's going to test them, and as Steve Jack says, shoulder responsibility. And we'll get into this more, but I've been on here long enough. I want to get Eric's perspective and what he did as a young boy and what fostered him into being where he is today. Eric, take it away, brother. It's all yours.
You know, it's funny. There's a Chinese belief that, you know, whatever you suck at when you're young, or wherever big challenges you have, is a call for what you're going to do in your life. So a lot of Qigong masters were sickly as a child, and because nothing worked, that's why they had to go into the healing arts first to heal themselves, and then that's how they became so good.
Yeah.
In my case, was something very similar. I was actually very weak, and the epitome of this happened when I think it was like seventh grade or something, and they had like a physical fitness test, and they were measuring push-ups, sit-ups, kind of like a military test now that I see it, but I didn't know that back then.
Yep.
The thing is, I got into a push-up position, right?
Yeah.
And I went down, but I could not come back up. I literally remember feeling how I hit the bottom of the push-up, and I wanted to push up, and my chest muscles started shaking, and yep. I just hit the deck, and for whatever the whole minute, I couldn't come up. I could only get back up and then try to come down, but I could not. And I basically got pissed. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like funny. And then all the jocks are, you know, when you're in a young age, the people that are good at something, instead of helping others, usually take that perceived superiority, because honestly, let's think about it. If you can do push-ups in the seventh grade,
yep.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who are you? You're just a dude that did push-ups. However, it can give you a, oh, well, he did zero, I did 10. I'm so much better than you.
Yep.
And what I found funny is that nobody was there willing to help you out. You're like, who do you go to? So the first step is I got so mad I just said, screw it, I'm going to do this by myself. Mm-hmm. So every morning, because I was fired up, you know, I would just do it against, the dresser drawer, because mm-hmm. I couldn't from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just, like, every day I would start to do it in the dresser drawer, so it kind of looked like an incline,
yeah,
you know, type style push-up. And it took me about 2 months when I felt I had an intuition, like, I think I can now do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I did a full push-up from the floor. After 2 months of doing it against the dresser drawer, because I think at one time, maybe at the month mark, I tried doing a push-up from the floor, and again, I couldn't do it. I realized it, so I redoubled my efforts.
Yep.
So it's interesting, you know, about the idea of having somebody to go to, but that spark, you know, is either born from, you know, you're just pulled into something like a moth to a flame that you see for the first time.
Yep.
Or, you know, as they say, you get sick and tired of the present of, like, let's say in my case, being weak.
Yeah.
In the absence of anybody there to help you, you start taking the action you can with what you got.
I agree.
And like you said about the universe, I strongly believe, based on my personal experience, that whenever in the face of odds, you just start taking actions and you don't really care what anybody else says or if you get guidance or not, you just go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, help shows up. So after I was able to actually do push-ups, and I think the second test, I was also doing push-ups and sit-ups. So I was able to get 45 sit-ups and a moderate low number of push-ups. And nobody could believe that. How come Eric got 45 sit-ups? That's
right.
That doesn't seem right, because last time he completely sucked, you know?
Yeah.
And so I know that there's power in making a decision and putting energy behind it. I had a best friend who happened to have been a professional skater back when there was four, you know, not the inline skates, but the two on each side.
Yeah.
And because he had competed in Latin America as part of an official team, he says, no, we got to do this. We got to do abs. We got to go to a gym. Turns out there was a gym about a 10-minute walk from my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back, mom, you know, I think I'm 14 by this point, you know, mom, you know, like, you know, my friend, you know, he's going to join the gym. I'd like to join with him, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was like $30 a month.
Yep.
It was all right, whatever. So I joined this gym, and here's was the interesting thing. In this gym, it actually got strength monsters. You know, these are all competitive bodybuilders. Wrestlers, like the TV wrestlers, they went to this gym, brother. So I'm talking ex-infantry, ex-airborne, bouncers, DEA agents, like actual strong dudes.
Yep.
Dudes you do not want to mess with, okay?
Yep.
And their attitude was, hey, you want to work? You're going to put in the work? And they would be very supportive, like, no, hey, kid, here's what you want to do, or you know, I said, how come the really strong people help others out?
There you go. Yep.
And the guys just have like 5% better than you love to mock you and put you down. I was like, wait a minute. So these little, you know, high school jocks are real insecure. And these dudes that are hoisting 315 pounds want to help you. I said, like, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I started hanging out with them and training, I call them my surrogate fathers of strength, I actually started to get strong.
Yep.
And as I started to get strong, even though I wasn't yet coordinated, that would come later in college.
Yep.
You know, there's something about humans that if you can't do a push-up, you're picked upon. But the minute you start, you know, growing a thicker frame full of muscle,
mm-hmm.
people start to respect you a little bit more and says, well, I don't want to mess with him now. You know, because
exactly.
even though I didn't know how to fight, if I just let the unbridled strength come out, it was going to do some damage.
Sure.
Not that I knew how to fight, and I didn't know what to do, but the mere fact that you've got muscle on your frame, mm-hmm. and that you're starting to train in a disciplined manner makes the world react to you differently than when you're weak.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like, that's one of those things where, kind of like you said, the struggle itself is a way to train the heart or something similar.
Yep.
I find that is true, and it's in the it's something that you felt like life slapped you in the face. It mm-hmm. could be a thing. It could be a fitness thing. Maybe that's the thing that you were meant on this earth to be good at, and the reason you're going to be good at it is because you're going to start from the bottom rung.
Yep.
You're going to have to pull yourself up through the bootstraps.
Yep.
Because I like to think about it like I have a friend who's a airborne ranger, and he once told me something that applies to everything in life, and I think I may have mentioned this in one of our shows before. So an airborne ranger is a very, very tough and demanding course.
Yep.
That many people apply, but not many people are able to pass. And part of it is because your body can't take that amount of abuse with 2 hours of sleep for such a prolonged time, where, you know, people just get psychologically frazzled.
Sure.
And the exhaustion, or sometimes you get stress fractures. Sometimes just people physically cannot handle. So, you know, he once told me something I think applies to every single thing in life. And he says to me, you know, that he's learned that people either have a ranger tab, meaning they pass the course and now they can put the ranger tab on their uniform, or they have a story.
Yeah.
And that means like, yeah, I went to ranger school, but
mm-hmm.
and then comes the story. And when he said it that way, you know, there's a lot of crispness to that logic. You know, if you say you're going to go to ranger school, you are either going to leave with a ranger tab, meaning you graduated, or you're going to leave with a story.
Right.
About how you went to ranger school, but something happened. And the same can be true for anything. So I find it's almost hilarious when you introduce me as a strong man, because if anybody knew me when I was a preteen, that would be the farthest thing from anyone's mind. So the thing is, it doesn't matter where you are today.
Right.
You today can actually make a decision that will change the rest of your life, whether that be health, strength, or fitness, which I believe is the predominant interest of people in this call. You can turn your life around, and you can continue to completely revamp yourself every 5 years, so that in my case, from strength, which I still practice and focus on,
yep.
now to longevity and anti-aging, which I personally refer to as youthing, because, you know, if you put the words anti-aging together, you're still afraid of aging.
Right, exactly.
Whereas if you're thinking about youthing,
yep.
or rejuvenating yourself,
yep.
There is no negative aspect to that. It's just a decision of where you want to take your life and your body. Now, at some point, you got to commit to certain actions, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I'm going to rejuvenate. Well, you know, then you're going to have to really look at what you're doing, what you're eating,
mm-hmm.
how you're thinking, how you're training, and see if it supports that. But, you know, if something right now in your life is really kicking your butt,
yeah.
maybe it's a sign that you are destined to greatness in that area. And this is how you're going to go through your boot camp of life. You know, that's what they call it, the school of hard knocks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
so let me know how that addresses your question.
No, that totally does. But, you know, another thing, too, is I look at it, you know, from a young kid. I mean, think about what you went through, too. You know, the anticipation, the disappointment, the inspiration, the shaking of many new hands. I can say, I've said this before, you know, we were wise guys. We used to go down to a local Y where, man, you went downstairs there where it was so hardcore, man, and these dudes were just, like, strong and tough. You know, there were many times we got shoved around and threatened a lot. But once we cooled our shit down, I didn't want to say that. We we started showing them respect, and they did with us, and I can't tell you what I learned from those guys down there. I mean, this was a room that looked like something out of who knows where, with a furnace that ran 24/7 even in the summer. It was absolutely brutal down there. But that was the base core of everything, you know, before, you know, ended up getting, you know, we went from the sand weights to the Y to probably the one of the best gyms other than what I've got here called the Steel Pier. In fact, I've got some of their equipment here because it was just so devastating. And when everything went down, you know, they were selling a lot of stuff. And by then, they were no longer the Steel Pier. You had people come in and I had no business being in the gym field, period. But that was good for me. But, you know, harken back to what we talk about. You know, today does not mean what you're going to be tomorrow or 10 years from now. I got into this, I think, with Adam Glass the other day. I'm not going to say everybody, but I think in the majority of us human beings that there is that call to strength. I know people like to use primal. That's a word. Like physical culture, it's just getting overplayed. It's like the core of the whole thing. But I will say primal for the sake of it today. Now we got to figure out, though, what is it with guys like Eric and myself? What brought that out of us? You know, what is that in us that suddenly something happens and triggers that, and suddenly the next thing you know, you're lifting, you know, whether it's dead stopping, you're working all kinds of longevity through body weight, through your thoughts, through what you're putting in your mouth, obviously. What is it that triggers that response? And I'll tell you two things right away. Was everyone knows my brother Jimmy died of muscular dystrophy. That was the first trigger. The second trigger was the Incredible Hulk, and I'll put them together so everyone can understand this. As a young boy, watching your brother in a wheelchair, I was frightened to death that I was going to get muscular dystrophy. And I'd go to my parents, and of course your parents love you and they reassure you. And that was never enough, though, for me. I still had that in the back of my mind. And, you know, in no way I'm putting any of that down or anything. Jimmy was the most prolific thing in my life and always will be. I would never thank God for that disease on him, because I wish to this day that he was able to run around. But he taught life lessons, even as a 10-year-old, I've learned and I've carried with me. Now I'm an older guy. I see what an example he was, and we were so lucky to have him like that. And I don't know why God does things like that. I don't know. I'll know when I meet Jimmy again, and he'll be standing on both legs. So I got comic books one day, and I see the Incredible Hulk. And right away, when Eric talks about and I talk about, is that magnetic pull, I didn't even have to think. I yanked that right off the bookshelf. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, I got to be like him. And I said, I have to have that strength, because then I know I won't get muscular dystrophy. And those two things to this day, and will always be to the day I'm out of this universe, are the most important, are the most thought-provoking, and have me where I am today because of Jimmy and the Hulk. Because the Hulk exhibited power, strength, rage, aggression, all these things that you need to be a prolific lifter. I don't care what anybody tells you. You walk into a gym docile, you're as good as dead. Go try to pull a stone up and be docile. You ain't getting it. Go try to do a dead stop squat, dead stop press. Do all the things Eric does with body weight. Go in there. Yeah, obviously we want to be controlled to a point. We want to push out our thoughts in the direction where we're going. But I'm sure he'll verify with me. If you go in there, you know, just like, well, we'll get through this today. You know what? You're not getting through anything, and you're going to walk out pissed off and really dismayed at some points, okay? Right? And then last but not least, and I'll send it right back to you, is this. I've been saying this like crazy. And I want to, and Eric can, you know, Eric knows me well enough. He can reply any way he wants here. Just because you walk out of the gym, it doesn't leave you. why? What? And this is something we're going to get across to people more and more, because I think this is why we see so much failure. And I don't mean failure that teaches you to get better. I mean failure when you walk away and give up. Is this, just because I don't have a stone attached to my shoulder, or I'm walking down the street with a barbell on my back, it never leaves you. And when you understand that terminology, you will become so much better as a lifter, stone lifter, kettle, whatever it is you want to do. Because just because I don't have those implements on me, that stuff is so driven through my DNA now. And it was always there. There's no doubt about it. It needed Jimmy to bring it out. That if you want to be very successful with it, if you want to be somebody that's looked up to, if you meet people on the outside and they ask you questions, you can convey things to them where you're not some kind of wise guy that's putting them down, like Eric said. Because I remember through my life, you'd see these guys there, you know, all they had were pecs and arms, chicken legs, and they'd be sitting there laughing at people, putting people down. I'll give a for instance real quick, and then I'll send it back to Eric. When we were at the Steel Pier, at that point, I'd probably been training maybe 5-6 years. I was relatively strong, getting better and better. And there were guys that they had this desk up near the front when you walked in. And this gym was absolutely a monster. I've never been in a gym this big. And they had, it was so big on the other side of the gym where it split off. It was all tennis courts, racket. I mean, people come from New York City. It was so huge. But the inside of where we were was just hardcore, right to the button. And a lot of the guys would come in, they kind of were all clicky. And they would sit there, and I know they were making fun of people. And they wouldn't screw with us too much. We had a lot of, it was to the point my buddy Joey was nuts. This guy said something to him one day, one of that pack. And Joey whipped a friggin' 25-pound plate at him. And it hit the mirror and broke the mirror. And this guy started coming at him. And it was Joey and I. And I don't know if my brother was with us. I was like, I grabbed an Olympic bar. I said, I'm going to slap this sucker right across the head. And they didn't mess with us at all. But here's the point of the whole thing. There was a guy on an incline bench. He wasn't a big guy. And I think, I don't remember what he had on, but it was much too much for him. And if you've ever seen weight that's too heavy, this thing came down on him like King Kong. And this guy was pinned, and it's lucky he didn't hit him in the face because it would have broke his face. And I'm across the gym, and I'm watching this, and I'm watching these guys up in the front laughing at him. No one even came over to pull the weight off him. I ran across the gym, grabbed the bar and racked it for him. And I was like, are you all right? And this kid was shook. And I'm sure it hurt him, because it hit him, you know, right in his pectoral area. And I'm sure he was hurting. But I said to myself, you know, I've never been that kind of guy anyways, but I'm like, those guys up there, well, I'm not going to use what I'd like to say to them, but if I had my way, I would have stuffed their head right down a storm drain. Go ahead, Eric.
You know, it's very interesting, because when you were talking, I thought about two things, and one of those is consciousness of what's possible for you, and an awareness. So you saw the Incredible Hulk, right? Mm-hmm. And it triggered something, you know, and I know that word is using the most asinine words today, but you know, it basically triggered something within you, says yes, strength.
Yep.
You know, like there was something, you know, that drew you to it. And I think it's very interesting, because, you know, you can't do something unless it somehow is part of your conscious awareness. So in my case, I really didn't even know there was a thing called bodybuilding when I was 8 or 7 or 10 years old.
Yep.
I didn't know there was a thing called push-ups, and I sucked at them.
Yep.
But it was only when my friend who had competed says, we've got to train. I go, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And he took me to a gym. And then I felt the magnetic pull. Yep. And then I go, Mom, it's like I need $30 to join the gym, right?
Yeah.
Then it was, you know, the other thing, it's like the environment. You know, here you are as a 14-year-old with all these dudes you cannot help but admire because they're so strong.
Heck yeah.
And the good thing is, you know, and something you mentioned is respect. You know, I'm a 14-year-old kid, right?
Yep.
And here this dude, you know, I'm putting like what? 25-pound plates on the bench press, and these dudes are warming up with like 225 or something.
Yeah, yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I immediately knew I was in the presence of greatness. And that respect and humility allowed them to say, hey, kid, you know, and coach me. And I think that that's very important. If your cup is already full, nobody can help you because you think you know everything, which that arrogance can hold you back.
Yes, sir.
You know, the other thing you said about, you know, you may walk out of the gym, but the gym does not leave you. What I've always thought about that, and you can tell me when you respond back, is
sure.
Because the thing about being alive,
yep.
If you're doing something in a desk, which is menial and boring and a task that you may feel you have to do either for school, you know, when you're young, or in our case, because it's a job and then you get paid money, which with this money, then you support your family. But the task itself,
yeah,
does not make you feel alive.
Yep.
Kind of like when you said, when you go to the gym and you're challenging yourself, you know, what I talked about, when you start using scary weight, where you walk to the bar and there's that hesitation,
yep,
because your body knows, and there's it's half fear, half anticipation, but a lot of respect,
yep,
because you know you're going to push the edge of whatever your humanity is at that point. And there's a seriousness, it's almost a reverence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, anybody can take a 5-pound pink dumbbell and curl it 10 times. This is not what you're doing. This is when you're standing under 500 pounds,
yep,
300 pounds, and you're going, I know it's going to go down. I do not know if it's going to come back up.
Right.
And I'm just being very honest. But I'm going to do it anyway. And you get under this bar and you summon all your courage, and you're successful most of the time, but sometimes you're not. And then that's how putting in those – that's why I love the power rack, where you can actually put the safety pins in place to where if you overshoot your ego.
Yep. Yeah, you don't get your knees broken out from under you, you know?
Yeah, and I thought a lot about that, is the feeling of being alive and I'm talking about being alive at the cellular level, because some people who've never gone through this may not fully understand what I'm about to say, but when you hit a PR, let's say with the squat, full, you know, the first time I hit 405 in the squat,
mm-hmm,
it was a moment of elation.
Yeah.
The first time I did 700 kettlebell swings, you know, and this is inspired by Bud Jeffries, you know, the 1,000 kettlebell swings. So I did 700 kettlebell swings with the 70-pound kettlebell. I remember the first time I was stationed at at Naval Station Mayport in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And I wanted to do it, so I would literally bring my kettlebell to work.
That's awesome, man.
And then during the lunch hour, I would walk to basically like 500 feet from where the offices were, like in this middle of this area that had trees and grass, and I would do it. I would do 100 and then rest like a minute, 100, rest a minute, 100. You know, I would do this 100, 100, 100, 100 until I reached 7. And I know there was a certain elation that I conquered a part of myself. And the funny thing now is I'm walking back to, you know, the offices, and everybody was complaining about this or that and ho-hum. And these are Marines, you know, Marine officers, Naval officers. And it's true, man. If you stay there and all you did for that hour was maybe eat your lunch in front of your computer, and then, you know, it's a staff job, so you're not doing any of the exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Doing PowerPoints and Excels and, you know, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and I realized right then and there that you do have a choice. And this feeling of being alive by conquering parts of yourself,
mm-hmm,
is what never leaves you, because then you go, I wonder what else I can do.
Yep.
And you realize that sitting at a desk and cranking out what you're supposed to do only pays the bills.
Exactly.
And if you want to become something, and again, it could be in strength, fitness, health, it could be in business, it could be in you know, meditation, it could be in anything, you're going to have to push yourself.
Yep.
And you go to that barrier that kind of makes you a little bit scary and very respectful, and you push against it continuously,
yep,
that's when you'll feel the most alive. And that's what I know. Once you taste that, that's what you want to go back to, because everything else will seem drab. and blah in comparison.
Yeah.
And you'll want to go back to being alive.
Hey, you know what? It's like they talk about that runner's high. And Eric can attest to this. I mean, he's done enough stuff, and you know that we've worked together on some power rack stuff, and hopefully when things cool down a little bit here and he's got some time, there's a couple other things that we want to do, possibly. I've got some ideas, but, you know, we want to, you know, I keep saying it, I know that, but right now, those projects are sitting there, believe me. There's no reason why they can't come out down the road. But the point, and I know Eric can attest to this, because we'll just talk about dead stop training. You know, we talk about a runner's high. I got news for you. You know, Eric talks about the elation, the feeling of, you know, to be able to go and do stuff like this and just magnify it. You know, it's just amazing. And I got to tell you, there's nothing, and I'll repeat, nothing like getting under a heavy bar and trying to get your ass up. It's very enticing to get into something like this. And I would tell anybody, if you really want to make contact with who you are, get under a bar like that and start learning how to do things. Eric, I know we're at time. Obviously, I could talk about this subject matter much longer, but I've got Dennis coming. He's the gentleman I'm working with right now. We have to knock 71 pounds off him by June of this year. Very unhealthy weight. We're going to take him from 271 to 200. And you'll see some more stone training we're doing. I didn't want to incorporate this to down the road on a third day, but he needs to start this and get it going, because I feel the way he is right now, this is one of the things that metabolically will set him straight. He's down to 259, and obviously, what is it, February? The goal is for mid-March, which is about a month away. I would like to really have him down to 240, 242, because then I can really implement the third phase of this. But that's going to be something very interesting for anybody that really wants to learn some real strength here, things that I haven't even released. And I'm not saying nobody else has ever done it, but I've never seen anybody else do it. The only other guy that would be doing stuff like I do would be Bud. Eric would too. I know Eric does some pretty awesome stuff. But as I said, you know, when Eric was here in the States, I say, and I get this from a lot of guys, wouldn't it be great if we lived so much closer? If that happened, probably houses would be getting burned down. We'd be so insane, man. But, you know, that's another thing. Eric, take your time. Summarize. Obviously, we'll get set for next month. Give out all your information. I'll give mine. If you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. When you close, tell me if you felt this. I'm just going to give you one final thought before I close.
Go ahead.
I remember, and people who don't train will not believe me, but you perhaps might believe me. I have felt on the days that I have achieved a hard PR, an actual electric shock in my body that allowed me to perform the feat. Mm-hmm. I believe it is my theory that electric shock was either more muscle fibers being activated to achieve this new weight I couldn't lift before. That's my my strongest theory. Or it was actually muscle tissue tearing, and that's what I felt. I believe it was the activation of muscle fibers that were needed. And I remember to this day specifically how I felt it the very first time I was able to bench press 365 pounds.
Yep.
And the very first time I was able to squat 405. So in clothing, you can find me on Facebook via Eric Gutman, or you can go to my website to read a lot of my more in-depth articles, which are all free at www.ericgutman.com. That's ericgutmann.com. And just real quick, the three things I could leave you with, if you're looking to make a change, you know, the first thing for you thing is mobility and the vestibular reset. And I've actually taught this at various seminars in all parts of the United States and Central America. So for 49-something, you know, you can get both full body mobility and the vestibular reset, which applies to any physical endeavor. I've taught it to CrossFit people, MMA people, and recently in Guatemala, I taught it to soccer coaches. And they all love it because it applies to everything, and I believe that is the key to youth, which does not interfere with any other sport or discipline. If you maybe train in the past or you would like to start and you go, is there a way for me to actually learn proper body weight mechanics and maybe how to use that beginner kettlebell without getting too crazy, but with maximum safety, but also maximum results? Well, there's a course in my website called Extreme Military Fitness Basic. It's a 12-week program, and really the first month is a break-in and teaching period. I look at it as, you know, if you can't attend a seminar to learn the basics of how to do body weight and kettlebell exercises correctly, that is the best learning tool because it progresses so gradually. Because I actually test everything out on people. I first develop it for myself, and then I get regular people off the street, and then I see how I have to modify it for it to make progress to them.
Yep.
So if you would like to get in shape, or you were in shape 5 years ago and you, man, like, I need a blueprint, that would be it. If you're intermediate to advanced and you go, hey, I want something that's really going to develop me, then I challenge you to do Extreme Military Fitness Elite. That's another 12-week program, and that one is tough. I've yet to hear somebody come back and actually told me they finished it. And I know people have bought it, but the mobility and Extreme Military Fitness Basic, I get a lot more feedback on, which means people are buying and doing it. And I believe the EMF Elite, it's scary. It will push you to the edge of strength and conditioning. And it's a great program. But those are three options that you can begin today to turn your health and fitness life around. And again, like Eric says, and if you have any other questions you would like us to cover, from recovery to hormones to strength training, send them to him and we can cover it in a show. And thank you a lot, Eric, for having me here.
Anytime, Eric. Your family, you're always welcome here, believe me. Motivation Muscle, as we call it. We are the alpha male of radio. We also connect your brain to your brawn, and that's very important because Eric and I stress that just like everybody else. But Eric and I get into a lot of, well, it's like everything. Every show, that's what I love about doing this. We're all over the map, and I think that's why it is so appealing to people. And Eric can attest to this. He'll come up with an idea for a subject, or I will. There's not really a lot of thought. We'll talk before each show, but I'm not sending Eric 10 questions. I won't do that with anybody, and I don't think Eric and I would be very good like that among everybody else. Our personalities work very well together. We go back and forth very well together, and I'm very fortunate to have this. And that's why I think the show, well, I know the show has been very successful. It will continue its success because we both are always wanting to improve. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Get the two free ebooks. As I said, they're not on the sites anymore. There is a tab you can hit. There's too many other things that are coming up. Wait till you see the new pictures that when you enter FBC and M&M, they're going to be mind-blowing. I'm going down today. There's going to be a big tribute to Jimmy on there, too. It's an older picture, but my brother is a beautiful, handsome young man there. And when you see this picture, you'll know what I'm saying. I can't say enough about him, and thank God we had him, and we still got him. And he's been the inspiration behind everything here, believe me when I tell you that. And if he doesn't inspire you, I don't know what will. I mean, I don't know what will, but we'll see, and we'll keep doing what we do better than anybody else. Go out there, get that. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Eric's show should be up no later than Monday morning. Go out and just look at all the material Eric and I have done. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. As Eric said, we'd be glad to do any subject matter you'd like to talk about. FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with all this stuff. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. We all know that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, twist it, tear it, pull it, squat it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust, obviously, too. The Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone, which we're going to be using very shortly at 9:30. Dennis will be over here at 9:15. By the time we get everything out of the garage, get a lot of the snow moved, I'm sure it'll be around 9:30. That's fine. We're going to be filming. It's going to be real interesting stuff what we're going to do today. You know, check all that out, obviously. Let me see, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. As with the Hoosa Steel Stone, you know, domination does not follow anyone. It clears its own path. No one will ever clip our balls. Russell Furr, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been a guest, says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. We will say that for 28 more years or longer, Russell, and we appreciate that comment. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor, and he was like a father to me because I lost my dad so long before John, and who was so instrumental in pushing me with this business. We lost him 3 years almost to cancer. There's not a day that I don't think about John and going over there on Friday afternoon, getting adjusted, and just talking about life like we do here. I wish John was still here because I would love to have him on the show. I'm telling you right now, every one of you would have enjoyed this, man. Unbelievable. Like the three men there, and Jimmy, I think about you every day, all the time. I can't get you out of my mind, and I'm glad I can't. It's been the most positive thing for me, especially the last 3 years of all we've been doing here. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And another thing, too, you all have greatness, like the great Les Brown says, but we'll take it a little further. We stand behind you, and we are with you all the way. We encourage and everything else. And, you know, like I always say, tell 100 of your friends, because we are going to just break your door down, join our family, join our revolution. Also, too, as I've talked about before, if you'd like to contribute to the show, we'd really appreciate it. We are on Patreon. You can give as little as $1 per show, or if you want to contribute differently, depending on what you can afford, go out to PayPal, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I never want to have to charge for content like a lot of people do. I don't believe in that, but we are going through major strains right now, and you're going to see what we've been up to. So anything you'd like to contribute would be so much appreciated by myself and obviously Eminem and FBC. Eric, you know, Happy New Year. You know my feeling on you. It's an honor. You are an exemplary man. And you've been a hell of a friend to me offline, too, and I thank you for all of that.
And you're very welcome, my friend. The feeling is mutual.
Thank you. So, for Eric Gutman, we'll have Eric on next month. This is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, and as always, go out and do something great because you all have greatness in you, and we believe in you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't be more than you are. We gave you examples today, and we're going to keep doing it for the next 28 to 30 years. Have a great weekend, everybody. The show will be up Monday, and we will talk to Eric soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.